Think we're ready, huh? I mentioned to you about receiving advice and how do you receive advice? I coached basketball at Coronado High School for 12 years, and there would be times where I would have a parent of one of my players come up with some advice, and of course they've never played basketball before, never had any, you know, idea of how this game's played or whatever. And so how do you think I received their advice? Diplomatically, thank you very much so. And it's not like I didn't listen to them. Obviously, they have vested interest in what we're doing. And but as far as techniques and things that I needed to do in the field of basketball, you know, probably didn't listen too much to them. And, you know, think about this. Gabby, the young lady who won a gold medal in the Olympics. Now, do you think she would take advice from me on how to perform on the beam or the parallel bars? You know, I call her up, Gabby, I've got some advice for you. Who are you? So it's interesting, this is how we receive advice from different people. It all depends on who's giving the advice, isn't it? So I would like to share some advice with you this morning. And I don't know if I'm an expert or not in this field, but I did bring along an expert, the most expert person that could share with you my exhortation of what I want to present to you today, and that's prayer. I want to talk to you about prayer this morning. And I brought an expert advisor with me, the Word of God. Okay? The Word of God. There's no higher source of truth than God's Word, right? So we're going to talk about prayer, and we're going to look in the Word of God. So let's do it, all right? So let's go to 1 Thessalonians, or 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 17. And it says here, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." We've got a prayer going here, don't we? "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Now, Paul, by the direction of God Almighty, is giving some advice to Timothy. All right? And it's in this form of prayer. And he gives this charge that he might war a good warfare. Verse 19, "Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck." Some have not done it correctly. And he names a few of those folks, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Chapter 2, verse 1, "I exhort, therefore, as a result of this charge, I therefore exhort you that," what? "First of all," first of all, not second, not last, but first of all, "supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." You know, he didn't say just, you know, pray for everybody, but made a very concerted point here of these different kinds of prayer, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. That's covering everything, isn't it? For all men. Prayer is so vital, so important. And Paul was communicating this to Timothy, that first of all, these prayers be made for all men. Okay, verse 2. "For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." We want to pray for those who are in leadership positions, and that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. This is God's heart's desire right here in verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom, a payment for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men do what? Pray. Where? Everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So prayer is a big deal, isn't it? Wow, a big deal. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Ephesians, Philippians chapter 4. This section not only emphasizes the importance of prayer, but there's some wonderful keys in here that will help you realize the peace of God in your life. So this is going to be a wonderful side note in light of the emphasis of prayer. So let's take it here in verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and besides Synthe, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Wow, the book of life. That's a book we all want to get into, huh? And we are. If you're born again of God's Spirit, you're in that. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Man, we should have a rejoicing attitude in our life. This is a great key. There's several great four keys here on having the peace of God in your life. And it really revolves around prayer big time. First thing, rejoice. Have that attitude of rejoicing in the Lord always. Let your moderation, your patience is the word. That's what it means, moderation. Your patience be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. We are patient. We haven't maybe received what we have prayed for. Our requests are made known, but maybe we haven't received it yet. There's bumps in the road, but we're going to take them on, right? We're not going to allow those bumps to kick us off into the side valleys. We're going to move forward. We're going to move forward because we've got patience and we know who's at hand. The Lord. Christ is coming back at any time. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. The word careful is anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Okay? So we're not anxious for anything. Why? But in everything. How many things? Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Wow, look at the context wherewith this prayer, emphasis of prayer, sits. We are rejoicing in the Lord always. We have that patience. We stick in there because we know that Christ is coming back. We pray because we know this. We realize this. So we have prayers and supplications with thanksgiving. We make our requests made known unto God. And what's the result? Verse 7, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep or guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Wow. You know what? When we pray, we let go and let God, don't we? And if that's true and we've let go of it and given it to God, why should we worry about it? Why should we be so upset about it? Because we've given it to God, right? I see so many times people will pray for a situation and then they continue to worry about it. Did you give it to God in the first place? If you really did, it's out of your hands. Do we trust that God will answer your prayer? Is he who he says he is? Yes, he is. He will answer our prayer. He will take care of us. So we let go and let God. And boy, that's where the peace of God passes all understanding. We don't understand things sometimes. But with letting go and our prayer to the Heavenly Father, that peace of God will reign in our hearts. Big time. Big time. Wow. We have that patience, verse 5 says, right? That patience. There's a verse in James 1:4. It talks about letting patience have its what? Perfect work. Perfect work, see? So patience is a big part of this. Big part of this. Well, prayer is important. Too many times we blow off prayer as some tedious Christian duty that we say that we're going to do. You know, somebody says, hey, pray for me, and, you know, we may say a few words, and that's it. But really, really, if we do that and we do pray for somebody, then we should have that attitude of mind that we've given it to God and we're not going to worry about it anymore. We might pray continuous for that situation, but we're not going to worry about it. After you've prayed and lifted your burden to God, you've expressed your thoughts, you've believed that God's going to take care of it, then you let the peace of God reign in your hearts. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, if you would. 1 Thessalonians. Some more great exhortation on prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. One of the shorter verses in God's word here, right? Rejoice, how much?
Evermore.
Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. See, when it comes to prayer, we're finding out that God's word exhorts us to pray always and everything without ceasing. And we'll see in a couple other verses that we want to be instant in prayer and continuing in prayer. Well, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So in everything we give thanks. Now, it's not like if we we stub our toe and get hurt and we thank God for our stubbed toe. But in every situation, we're giving thanks to God, knowing that God is going to work with us and bless us and take care of us. See how important prayer is all the time, every time, always, for all people? Let's go to Colossians. Right before Thessalonians, we've got Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians 4:2 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So we want to continue in prayer. Verse 3, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. This is a wonderful prayer, outreach prayer, that we can pray for doors of utterance to open up so that God will just lead us to the right place. Let's go witnessing. Where are we going to go? Ask God. Ask the Father where to go. Because He knows where the hungry folks are. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. One of the great verses on prayer, verse 18. If you look at the context of this, where this verse lies, and you're familiar with the previous verses, you see that the exhortation for the believers is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, right? Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against every principality and against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Whereon take unto you the whole armor of God. We're putting on this armor of God, and it goes over the pieces, right? And we stand on that. And what is the result of having this armor and standing on it? Verse 18, praying. I get a great picture of this person has all these pieces of the armor, and you think the next step is going out, you know, using it, but really the next step is getting on your prayer, on your knees and praying, right? Wow. We pray, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. What is it to pray in the Spirit? Speaking in tongues. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14, I believe it is, that tells us about praying in the Spirit is speaking in tongues. So speaking in tongues is such a great lever of prayer, a means of prayer here. Speaking in tongues. We, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see how wonderful prayer is? See how vital it is, important it is that we have a great prayer life, a great prayer life. There's a wonderful statement in a little teaching on prayer, and this is what it says. I wanted to share this with you. Paul's praying and his commands and the urgency with which he pressed upon the church to pray is the most convincing proof of the absolute necessity of prayer as a great moral force in the world. It is an indispensable and inalienable factor in the progress and spread of the gospel and in the development of personal piety. In Paul's view, there was no church success without prayer, no piety without prayer, in fact, without much prayer. Prayer is a big deal. Remember in 1 Timothy 2:1, what was the first thing to be done? Pray. Of all the spiritual duties we have, prayer is right up there in the beginning. You know, the love of God's got to be there primarily, no doubt about that. But that attitude of prayer has got to be up there, right on the top. You know, we talk about natural man's character. We talk about integrity, industry, you know. Somebody is a man or a woman of character, has these traits that we respect in the natural world. But what about a spiritual man, a spiritual woman, their character traits? One of the top ones has got to be prayer. One of the true tests of a believer's character is their prayer life. Do they have an active prayer life? You know, on our resume as a son of God, an important category for us to have is strong in prayer. Show me a Christian that does not need to pray or is too busy to pray, and I will show you a weak and a deficient believer. Prayer is right up there where we need to have in our life all the time. We've seen the great emphasis of it, haven't we? A couple more verses here in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoice in hope, patience in tribulation, continuing what? In prayer. Instant in prayer. The word instant means steadfast. Steadfast in prayer. Again, a situation arises, what's the first thing we want to do? We'll pray about it. We want to pray about it. Pray about it. Yeah. Let's go to let's finish in Colossians, okay? Colossians chapter 1. Are you seeing the great advice of the expert, the Word of God here? What is this great expert advising us to do? Pray much. Whole bunches. Speak in tongues a bunch. So Colossians chapter 1 verse 3 says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying what? Always for you. I mean, this prayer thing is all over the Bible. It's all over the Word of God that is addressed to us especially. Let's look down at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. We just don't stop praying for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Wow. That attitude of prayer, first and foremost, in our life. We are so blessed to be filled with all the riches of Christ within. Now, our call, primary call, is to pray. God has called all of us to pray always, to pray in everything, to pray without ceasing, to pray steadfastly, and pray continuing until Christ comes back. You got the advice? You got it from the expert, all right? You heard it here first, God's Word. So let's pray much in our life here. Let's have a great dynamic prayer life until Christ comes back, all right? I'd like to close with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that we have this connection with you as your wonderful sons and daughters, that we can pray to you 24/7. That, Father, we can have an active prayer life, always talking with you, knowing that you talk back to us and bless us and take care of us. So, Father, I just pray for each and every person here that their prayer life can be as dynamic as you would have it to be. And, Father, thank you for the peace that we can have as we give it all to you and walk with great confidence and trust in you. So we love you, Heavenly Father, and thank you for a great morning this morning and a great day today and a great week ahead of us, knowing that Christ could come back at any moment. And until then, Father, we just pray to you and give thanks to you in all things. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, amen, huh? That's it. That does it, huh? Well, bless you.